are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
We're in a series called Not Done Yet. And if you missed last week, Rick is a good friend of mine. I hope he would say the same about me. But man, I loved his message so much last week because he talked about, if you missed it, he told the story of these guys crashing through a roof and helping a guy out. And the challenge for us that he left us with was like to carry somebody's mat. And to be looking for that. And I just love that message. And so go back and listen to that. He did such a great job. I'm not touching that this week. We're going to move on to something different. But I'm really glad that you're here. We're just going to plow through the Bible today. In the New Testament, we're going to be in Luke chapter 5. So if you want to turn there with me, you can. If you don't have a Bible, I just let you know, every hotel room you stay in has one, so just grab one there. That's where we get all of ours to give back to you. So I'm teasing, we don't anymore. Luke chapter 5 is where we're headed. I was thinking the other day, if Steve Jobs were alive, he would be so mad at me because I have an iPhone 13, 14, I don't know, it's one of those. And it tells me regularly, like there's an update available. And I get so excited because, hey, there's a new update available. And so it says, do you want to update it tonight? I'm like, yeah, while I sleep, that's amazing. Like, and I hit yes, and it'll say, cool, I'll do that tonight while you sleep. And then I wake up the next morning, it was like, your iPhone was not updated, you have too many things on your phone, like you not enough storage, sorry, can't do it. I'm like, oh, okay. So then I say to myself, well, I'll go ahead and delete a bunch of stuff off my phone, and then I never do. And the following week, I get a notification, there's an update available. I'm like, yeah! And I click yes, and then I wake up the next morning, and it hasn't updated in like 2 years. So is anybody else do that? Is anybody else like me? Okay, there's a couple of you, a couple older people. Okay, so here's the problem with that. I don't know what I'm missing out on. It's possible I'm missing out on something. It's possible there's something that's available that's going to make me help me be more efficient, help me be more effective. It may be something that helps me do stuff faster. I'm still able to make phone calls and send text messages and capture photos, not many videos, because again, I got too much stuff on here, but it's still able to work, but what if there was more? And that's kind of the principle that we're going to talk about today. What if there's more? What if God's calling us to more? What if he's not done yet? What if there's something more that he has for us, but we're so full, or we're just good with, well, it functions, it works, my life's fine, everything's okay, I'll just let it go. That's what I want us to think through today. So Luke chapter 5, we're going to look at the story in the New Testament. It's a story of a guy named Simon who ends up getting renamed. His name is Peter. A lot of us know him as Peter. This is a story that I heard growing up. If you've never heard this, let's go. We're going to dive in this together. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, standing by a lake. Bible names are hard for me. Like I actually had somebody stop me after last service. Last service was a mess. Like you read these names and you look at them, and like I was looking at it and the syllables just wouldn't go together. Like I was reading it in my head with like a French accent, je ne serait. Like it was like it wouldn't happen. And it's easier for me to say, Jesus was standing by a lake, and the people were crowding around him, listening to the word of God. Jesus is preaching near a lake. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. I think this is interesting. He got into the boat and then asked the guy if he could use his boat. That's interesting. He got into the boat, the one belonging to Simon, and then he asked him to put it out a little from shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. This is really just a practical thing. There's nothing mysterious or crazy about this. The people are pushing him into the water and he's like, I'm going to drown. Even though he could walk on water, that's a separate story. But he's like, hey, how about we just get in the boat and I'll preach from the water. And so he does. When he had finished speaking, verse 4 said, he said to Simon, let's do this. Put out into deep water and let's go fishing. Let out the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. I feel like he's like, hey, don't you make furniture? Like, aren't you a carpenter? Like, I'm a fisherman, you're a carpenter. Like, you make furniture, I'll take care of the fish, and trust me, there's nothing here. But then he says something interesting. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Because you say so, I'll let down the nets. We'll come back to that phrase in just a minute. Verse 6, when they had done so, all of a sudden they caught such a large number of fish, their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and they filled both boats so full that the boat began to sink. That's a lot of fish. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, the miracle that they had witnessed. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus says to Simon, Simon, don't be afraid, because from now on, you will fish for people. That sounds weird when you say it like that, but from now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, and this is crazy. The boat's full of fish, right? The boat's so full that they were about ready to drown. The boat's filled with fish, so more money than they had ever seen, probably in any fishing expedition ever. And they left everything and followed him. Now, I love this story because when we take a snapshot of this story, when we just pluck this story out of scripture, I got to tell you, this is inspiring. Like, I want to be this guy. I want to be the one that says, Lord, because you told me to, I'm in. What? You want me to throw my nets over there? Like, okay, we haven't caught anything all night, but I'm in. And then I want to catch the miracle fish, right? Like, I want to be able to do that. That doesn't happen. That miracle doesn't happen if Peter doesn't obey. That's the guy that I want to be. I want to be the guy that when Jesus says, do it, do it. When Jesus says, hey, peel back the roof and let that guy down, that I don't even think about, right? OSHA and all the safety issues and okay, who's going to fix the roof when we're done? And this is going to be weird. Like, what if the rope's not long enough and we drop him? It's okay because he's already paralyzed. But I don't want to think through all those things. I just want to be the guy that peels back the roof and goes, all right, here's my buddy. I want to be the guy that when Jesus says, hey, would you pick that person up? Would you take care of those people? Would you do that thing? And because it's him that I go, yep, I'm in. Let's do this. And yet all too often, I'm not. All too often, I start thinking through it. I'm like, you know what though? Like, okay, I've done this before. I've tried this. It didn't work out well the last time. Or that's going to be hard. Or I already have something on my calendar. Like, can we push that out a little further? Or that's going to be expensive. Or will that person ever pay me back? Like, that's like too many times those thoughts enter my head. I want to be this guy. It says, okay, because you said it, I'm in. This is risky. How many of you would like to be that guy too? Like, how many of you would like to be that person too? That like when God says it, like, yeah, then we just do. Okay, good. There's several of you, so let's just keep going. Here's the thing. We can't. Instantly. I want to be at the finish line, and I want to be at the final chapter before I ever take the first step. That's the problem is when we look at, when we just pluck some of these things out of God's word and we just go, oh man, I want to be that guy. We miss so much. I was sitting with my counselor a couple years ago. I was sitting with this guy every 30 days, whether I think I need it or not, because I think I just need to take care of that part of me and you should too. And that's why you go to the dentist and get your oil changed, because we all agree that service is good, but yet we don't service our brain and our mind and our guts and we don't do that. But I think it's a good idea. So I do that. And years ago, I was sitting with him and we were talking and I said, you remember that awful season that I went through when things were falling apart and like I could barely get here to have conversation with you and you helped me navigate through that. And yet I grew so much. And he's like, oh yeah, I remember that was ugly. Like, ugh. Like, yeah, I remember it. And I was like, yeah, me too. And I was like, here's the thing. I'm in a good space now. Can you help me figure out how to grow like that again without that pain and suffering and agony and trauma? Yeah, that's what he did. He just kind of chuckled like, no. And I was like, okay, I want my money back, right? Like, you know, like, and his point was, it doesn't happen that way. We want the final chapter without the first steps. Here's what's wild. This isn't Peter's first experience with Jesus. If we just pluck it out of the scriptures, if we just pluck it out of the book of Luke, it looks like Peter's working on his nets. Jesus is like, hey, I'm in your boat. How about you take me out? And then we catch all these fish and then Peter's like, hey, I'm in, let's do it. This isn't Peter's first experience with Jesus. We have to look at this in context. So let's do this. Let's roll this back a little bit to when Peter actually met Jesus the first time. All right. So if you brought your Bible or you want to turn to the left, we're going to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 35. There's a guy named John that's going to be referenced here. This is John the Baptist. We've actually got two Johns in this story. We got John the Baptist and then John the disciple that Jesus loved. John the Baptist was a guy who was holding, let's just call it, he was holding a conference. He was holding a gathering and people are coming to like see this John guy who was talking about Jesus. Well, Simon Peter, the guy that was just like in the boat with Jesus, the guy that owned the boat, Simon went on that like road trip to go see John the Baptist. So that's where we pick up in John chapter 1. John the Baptist is having his conference, his revival. He's talking about Jesus. And Simon ends up there in the same region because he'd heard that he was in town. And his brothers and some other folks were there, some people that knew him. Okay, so that's where we pick this up. The next day, so John the Baptist has just baptized a bunch of people. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, this is John the Baptist, he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. Well, when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus, and turning around, Jesus saw them following and he asked, what do you want? So Jesus is now on the scene and he was like, hey, you're following me. What is it you guys want? Like, is it a little creepy? Are you stalking me? Like, what are you doing? Is this good or bad? Jesus says, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and they saw where he was staying and they spent the day with him. And it was about 4 in the afternoon. This is all the setup for the guy that we're about ready to see again. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. You following me now? So Andrew, which was Simon Peter's brother, was one of those two guys that's now sitting, hanging out with Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon. And he tells Simon, we found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And then Andrew brings Simon to Jesus. This is the introduction. So this happened way before the whole fish miracle thing. Simon now meets Jesus. Jesus looks at him, and this is, there's no miracle moment here. There's no big fish catch. There's no some crazy thing. Jesus just looks at him and says, you're Simon, son of John. I'm going to call you Cephas, which translated is Peter. That's it. That's his introduction. That's their meeting. Jesus sees Simon's curiosity. He sees his curiosity because Andrew said, you got to come meet this guy. We just found who we think is the Messiah. Peter's curious. He leans in, walks over, and you wonder if they did the whole like, hey, sup? All right, you give the same, he's like, hey, I know who you are. You're Peter. You're Simon, but I'm gonna call you Peter. That's his introduction. Here's what I wanna say about this. Jesus meets our curiosity before he expects our commitment. Now, here's the thing. I'm just going to say this. Every one of us, if we look at on the range from like, I am kicking the tires on this God thing, Jesus thing, all the way out here to I'm a fully devoted follower of Jesus, like I'm all in. Every one of us, we are on this scale. We are on this range. Out here is curious. Out here is completely committed. I think it's important to remember that when we look at that Luke 5 passage, like the whole boat, the miracle thing, Peter is already out here in this close to this committed point. But in John chapter 1, in their first meeting, he's just curious. I've heard some things about you. I'm intrigued. All right, you give me a new name. That's cool. Where's this going? He doesn't know, but he simply leans in. I just want to say this. If you're curious, welcome. This is a great place to be curious, just to work it out. We talk about Jesus every week. That's our plan here, is to talk about him, to show who he is by the way we live, learn, where we work, where we play, and then to share him, to talk about him, to give you an opportunity to grow in a relationship with him. If you're curious, this is a great place to be. And every one of us have been there, whether it was at a church camp when you were a kid, whether it was at a Christian concert, whether it was in your dorm room with your roommate, whether it was with your spouse, whether it was somewhere else. I don't know. We've all been curious. And hopefully at some point we were curious enough to say, okay, tell me more. Tell me more. Because he keeps drawing us in. If we'll lean in, he's got more. He's not done with us. We don't just stop at curious. If we stop at curious, then we miss out on what everyone else is talking about. They keep, sometimes they'll put their hands up in church and they'll sing and they'll do this and they'll talk about these amazing experiences. But yeah, I haven't had any of that. Well, maybe it's because you stopped at curious. Or maybe you were somewhere here in the middle and it's like, yeah, but it's been a while. Like, I don't know. Well, have you stopped? He's not done yet. Peter has his curiosity fulfilled and met, but God hasn't demanded anything from him yet. It was just, all right, I'll call you Peter. Now we move forward in the book of Matthew. Go back to the book of Matthew. I told you we're going to be flipping around. In the book of Matthew, we find another story. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is now walking by another lake. Okay, now let's get this straight. The John passage we just read is over here. This is Peter's curiosity. We started in Luke 5, which was over here. This is the miracle fish boat moment that happens when Jesus says, Peter, let's do this. And Peter's like, oh my gosh, I'm all in, right? I want to take us to the middle now because we've met him when he's curious. Now what happens next? Jesus is by another lake and we see this. Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, who he called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting their nets into the lake, for they were, what's that next word there? For they were what? Okay, if you're new here, I kind of like, we kind of do this thing back and forth where I like, hey, tell me the answer, not because I don't know it. I'm trying to get it stuck in there, okay? So let's try that again. So it says they were casting their nets into the lake, for they were what? Okay, good. Several of you more are on board. Okay, so they were fishermen. That's their occupation. That's their job. That's how they make money. We see it. They're there getting ready to go fishing. They're working on their nets. I don't know if this is how you work on nets, but it feels appropriate, right? They're working on their nets because they were what? Fishermen. That's their job. They're fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said. And I will send you out to fish for people, which is weird when we just read it like that, but we get the point. It's a metaphor. He says, come with me and I'll send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. At once they left their nets and followed him. Does that sound familiar? Didn't we read that in Luke 5, right? But this is a different story. You see, as a kid, and honestly, even as an adult, I merged these stories together. Because we do have stories in the New Testament that are told by one author and another author from different angles, and they're the same story. This is a different story. All scholars agree that this is a different story for a couple reasons. Number one, there's no mention in this story in Matthew about the miracle catch of fish. If Matthew left that part out, like, he's a horrible author. Like, that's the best part, right? He left that out because it didn't happen. This is a different story. So what happens is they're working to go fishing, whereas in the Luke passage, they had just finished fishing. Or, well, trying to fish, because they hadn't caught any fish, right? So they'd finished boating. They hadn't caught any fish. In this one, they're starting to work on their nets because they're going fishing. So it's a completely separate story. That's how we know it's stuck in the middle. And Jesus says, you're fishermen, but I'm going to make you fishers of men. At once, they followed him. Going from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. It's interesting. It's a different story. It's not the Luke 5 story with the boat and the miracle catch. This is a story of preparation. Because we don't move from curious to fully committed like that. What happens is we have some gradual moves along the way where God continues to bump and nudge and move us. He calls us on the shore because one day he's preparing us to go out into the deep. Think about that. He calls us on the shore. So he recognizes us when we're curious, and then he calls us on the shore because one day he wants us to go to the deep because he's not done yet. Because if we stay here, yeah, I raised my hand at the concert, went backstage, they gave me a free thing, right? I got a t-shirt, met the band, and then went home, and then I stopped. He's not done yet. Yeah, I accepted Christ, you know, when I was a kid, and, you know, I've gone to church, and so I just now I'm in a pattern and routine. You know, I even did the soccer ball thing, and, you know, I helped out at this thing, but now I'm just kind of here. He's not done yet. He calls us on the shore to prepare us for those deeper moments when he's going to ask us to go into the water. So, let's go back to Luke chapter 5 and let's read this now in a different way with that information. Remember, now we know there was a moment where Peter was curious and God says, okay. Jesus says, I can work with you. You got the personality. You're a fisherman. Oh, maybe we'll figure out how we can use that. You're a fisherman. I may need something. I may need some bait or something one day. I may need something. Like, I don't know what we'll do, but I can use that. You're curious. All right. And then he sees him again. He was like, you know, Peter, we keep running into each other. How about you come work for me and I'll make you a fisherman? Now we see in Luke chapter 5. Let's look at it in context. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake that's hard to pronounce, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the, what's this say? Left there by the what? By the fishermen. Hold on. I thought, didn't we just read in the last passage that Peter left his stuff and followed Jesus? Apparently he didn't. Or it's possible God still leaves us in our occupation to use us where we are, where we live, learn, work, and play. Because it says he's still a fisherman. He didn't leave it. He didn't quit his job to go work for a church, which isn't bad. I've done that. That's not awful. He didn't say, well, I was a fisherman, but now I'm going to follow Jesus. So I have to quit this so I can go, you know, work at a Christian college or I can go do these things. Like, well, no, Peter was still a fisherman. We see it in Luke 5. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to, and it's interesting, the one belonging to Simon. Time out. Didn't he rename him? Why are we calling him Simon? He got renamed Peter. Let's keep reading. He got into the boat, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. Now here he is teaching from a boat. Jesus in a boat teaching. Let me just say this. Gentlemen, if you've ever wanted an excuse to buy a boat and you need more ammo, this is it right here. This is it. God may need a boat one day. So sweetie, that's why I put a down payment on my way home from work on a bass boat, right? Because you just never know. God may need it. Please don't use that and say the pastor at church today said, like, don't do that. But here's the point. I'm going to say it like this. We all have boats. Some of you are like, no, I don't. Clearly, last summer, like we talked about it, I didn't get a boat. No, we all have something God can use. Every single one of us. We all have something that God can use and wants to use. A skill, a talent, a basement, a savings account. Soccer balls, bottled water. Like, we have something that God can use and wants to use. Because here's the thing. Jesus is on the beach being crowded. People are pushing him into the water, right? He's like, people can't hear me. I need something. Who's got a boat? Oh, I know who's got a boat. The guy who was curious, who I was introduced to a couple years ago. Let's use his boat. Hey, Pete, thanks for not selling the boat. We're going to use that. And God uses his boat so that other people can hear. See, we think it's ordinary. We just think it's stuff. We think it's our thing. And well, this is what I can do. And this is what I can do. But it's not a big deal. But our ordinary stuff is the platform for God's revelation. Come on, people. That's good. Yeah. Listen, our ordinary stuff. You went up hard on the amen. That was good. I'm proud of you. Okay. Our ordinary stuff is the stuff that God uses for revelation. Let me talk about the agathos thing again. Those guys are using soccer balls, an ordinary thing. And kids are learning about Jesus, falling in love with Jesus, knowing who he is. And it's not only changing their lives, it's changing the lives of their family. God is in the business of using our ordinary stuff to bring about revelation in people's lives. What do you have? What do you have that he wants to use? Take an inventory. This is why I got this and this and this. Just take an inventory. And be ready, because he may ask you or me to use it. It's our ordinary thing, but it's his platform to change people's lives. Simon answered in verse 5, Master, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught a thing. God, I've done this before. I've tried. It didn't work last time. I know how this goes. I do this and then I get hurt and I do this and then I get that. Like, God, I'm kind of tired of it. Peter was the expert. Peter had been a fisherman for a long time. Generational fisherman. He knew fish. He knew how to fish. He knew when to catch them. He knew what to do with his nets to make sure that they caught all the fish. He knew. But because he moved from curious to committed, his yes was on the table. We know that because he says this. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Because it's you asking, I'll do it. It doesn't make sense. Fishing at this time of day, in the middle of the afternoon, while all these people are making all this noise, we haven't caught anything. It makes no sense. But because it's you, I'll do it. It doesn't make sense to let those people into our home. It doesn't make sense to let those people into our heart. It doesn't make sense to let this happen. It doesn't make sense to try this again. But because it's you, I'll do it. You see, he didn't get there overnight. And so if you've ever felt like, I can't do that, just so you know, like, yes, you can. It doesn't happen overnight. Keep walking with him. Keep growing. Don't stop at curious. Keep learning. Keep leaning in. Because there's more. There's more. If we grow content with just saying, "Ah, I don't need the update. I don't need the update. I don't need the update. It'll be fine. It'll be fine." Play that out in our relationship with God. Who misses out? I may not be sending emails faster and I may not be doing certain things and there's apps that I may not be doing, but I don't know what I'm missing and I don't know what is on the other side because I just got too much stuff going on and I'm not letting that in. I'm not putting myself in a position to say, okay, I can experience more. God is not done yet. I do believe for all of us, no matter where you're at on that spectrum, he's not done yet. So the challenge is this, to put our pre-settled yes on the table. To do what Peter did, to figure out how to get to that space. So we just put our pre-settled yes on the table because that turns our routine life into a radical journey for us and for other people around us. Think about this. If we put our pre-settled yes on the table, who in this community is impacted? Well, the people that we live with, the people that we work with, the people that we learn with, the people that we play with. That's who is impacted when we put our pre-settled yes on the table. That sounds hard. Yep, it is. That sounds costly. Probably. But I'm going to go with the guy who can put all the fish in my boat. Because that's what he did. Peter's like, this makes no sense. But because it's you, okay, we'll do this one more time. Holy cow, where'd all these fish come from? That's what happened. My prayer is that would happen for all of us. I don't know that it happened. Like, don't come back next week mad at me. You're like, hey, I did it. And like, I didn't, no fish in my boat. Like, okay, I didn't say it was going to happen overnight. But that's what he does. That's who he is. And he's just calling us to more. So my challenge is for all of us right now is to take the next few minutes. We know how this goes. We do this every week. If you're new here, here's what we do. We do this part, and then these guys lead us in two more songs. And the hope is, as those songs, as we sing those, and I've had moments in here where I've sat in here, and during the song, I'm not singing. I'm just noodling in my head. And I'm like, what did I just hear? And like, what do I do with this? And it's just a conversation between me and the Holy Spirit where I'm just talking and listening and talking and listening and letting him just kind of like reach in and tell me what he wants me to do, know, be, hear, all of that. That's my hope for you over the next couple minutes. They're going to sing these songs and then, man, just let God just speak to you because I don't believe he's done yet. He's not done with you. He's not done with this church. He's not done in this community. There are people that need that revelation because we're going to let God use our boat and our stuff and our things and our life. All right, I'll be done. God, thank you for who you are. Lord, I do pray that you would just speak to us right now. Use this time. Lord, we carved out a few more minutes, which is stupid to say because you give us everything and we're going to carve out a few more minutes for you. But Lord, I want the space to be yours. And I don't know how you do it, but you have the ability to speak to every single heart in this room at the same time. And so, Lord, I'm asking you to do that, mine included. Speak to our hearts. What is it you want us to know? What is it you want us to do? What is it you want us to use? What are you calling us to? What are you calling us to say yes to? Help us to put our yes on the table. We love you, Lord, and I pray that you'd use this time.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at 1 Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.